morning sun removes the gray as angels roll the stone away. The tomb lay still, the air is tight, then burst to life with holy light. The guards are frozen, their hearts in fear, but heaven's voice is near and clear. Why seek the living among the dead? The Lord is risen, just as he said. The grave gave up its ancient claim. The world will never be the same. Where death once reigned, now mercy sings. The risen Christ, the King of Kings. Let hearts awake, let voices rise, for hope now dawns before our eyes. The cross, the tomb, the stone, the sky, all shout one truth. Christ is alive.
It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross, it's about my sin, it's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not all about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not all about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about his precious blood that saves me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away. The beginning of the story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you, and that's why we celebrate, celebrate. It's about the cross, it's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's love nailed to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away.
Thank you. on Friday, the Savior died on a cross. And on that Saturday, it seemed like all hope was lost. But soon, there would be cause for rejoicing, because everything had changed come Sunday morning. Amen. Aren't you glad? I've got great news for you. He's alive. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us, you are our special guest. And we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. Let's go to the Lord this morning in a word of prayer, thanking Him for this day, thanking Him for the resurrection, and thanking God this morning that His Son is alive. Amen. And He's seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, and He's making intercession for you and for me. Brother Don Rich, would you take us a Lord in a word of prayer this morning? Amen. Church, would you stand this morning, join the choir? I know we sing this song a lot, but I was going through the words this morning, and there's just something different about singing it on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Turn with me to page number 139, and let's sing At Calvary. Notice the words this morning as we sing. Sing now. Last, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burdened soul found liberty at, sing the chorus again. Mercy, there was great and grace was free. Pardon, there was multiplied to me. There, my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Just a couple of announcements this morning. Please remember that we have no evening service. It will give you an opportunity to go and spend time with your family, celebrate this Easter together. And please remember the reason for Easter. I know there's rabbits and I know there's eggs, but I'm thankful that there's a risen Savior. Amen. And that's the reason we get together. That's the reason we sing. That's the reason we preach. And that's the reason that we'll share in this day together. So enjoy your time with your family. But please remember that Jesus is the reason that we're here together today. Again, please remember no evening service. Wednesday we'll be back on a regular schedule. Please remember all the prayer requests that have been given over through this morning. And we won't take the time to read through them all this morning. But just please remember those that just stand in need of prayer. Brother Snyder will be coming around in a few moments to bring our message. And we're very thankful to have him and his wonderful family with us here today. Miss Marcia, it's great to see you. And we're excited about being in the house of the Lord today. But let's ask God's blessing. Here's what we're going to do this morning. The first offering is going to come back. They're going to bring the plates back like normal. This will be our regular tithes and offerings. regular tithes and offerings. And then they're going to bring the plates back up, and they're going to leave them here in the front. And we'll give you an opportunity in just a few moments to take up our Easter offering. It's what you want to give to the Lord today, thanking Him for the fact that He died for our sins and thankful that He resurrected from the grave. So you'll have an offering, another offering. The second offering will be our Easter offering, and we'll give you the opportunity to come and bring that down to the Lord. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Again, the first offering, tithes and offerings. Father, we love You, praise You, and thank You for the opportunity we have to be in Your house this morning. Lord, what a joy it is. Lord, our hearts are just full this morning because we want to just tell You how much we love You and how much we praise You. And how much we thank You and how we can celebrate this wonderful Resurrection Sunday. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, to be able to be in Your house today. Lord, I pray that You would be with us, be with these that are going through some difficult times, some are hurting. Lord, I pray that You would be with them in a special way. Lord, now I pray that You would bless the offering, our tithes and our offerings this morning. Lord, accept them, Lord, as we give them to You this morning. You know exactly what we need as a church. And Lord, I pray that You would bless this offering. We'll praise You and we'll thank You for all that You do in Jesus' name. We're going to ask the Lord's blessing this morning on the Easter offering as well. And if you would, there'll be plates up here in the front. Is there anyone that needs an offering envelope for Easter? We'll try and very quickly get those out to you. Give me a young person. Somebody fast, on your feet. Here you go. If you will, just leave your hands up. He'll get them around to you very quick. There's one right there. We've got some all throughout. And we're going to ask Brother Ceylon if he will ask his blessing this morning on our Eastering offering if he passes those envelopes out. As Brother Randy comes, if you would, church, if you would like to come and bring your Easter offering to the Lord, you can do that at this time. I walked by the tomb of Buddha. I looked inside and saw his bones. Traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him there. The precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer. Resurrection deep inside, you know he's living and death has died. Now if you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. Nail-scarred hands reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? But just one step in his direction, then in love he ran to me. If you knew him like I feel Him. Resurrection deep inside, you know He's living, and death has died. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. If you felt Him like I feel Him, resurrection deep inside, you know He's living, and death has died.
I think, for 24 years. And that is this. If you can accept the fact that a smiling, fuzzy rabbit can lay colored eggs, climb up in a tree and tie them to the branches, you got enough faith to be saved. You got that. You got enough faith to be saved. All right, we ready, guys? I want you to imagine that you are locked into a dark room. They put you in there. I talked with our young folks of the day about this example. Imagine you're in a dark room. You're locked in there. Somebody's turned that light out on you. You yell. You holler. You scream. You cry. You beat on the walls. You do everything to get out of there. And nothing happens. That's Friday night for the disciples. maybe Friday night for one of you. You need to get out. You want out. And then one day, unexpectedly, the door just opens. Just opens. And it's standing there, and the door swings open. You stand there, and you look outside. You're not sure you can trust it yet for the way you've been treated in the past. Any good sign is questionable. But then you step out, and you are free. That's Sunday. That is Sunday. We're going to look at a couple of passages. I'm going to do something a little different today, if I can. Well, I can because I'm up here. But you can hardly ever tell where Jesus is going, but you can usually tell where he's been. You can usually tell if Jesus has been. Remember in Acts 4, when the disciples were coming, they said they took notice of them that they had been with Jesus. There's just something, friend, about an encounter with a living God that changes you. It doesn't make you screaming and yelling. I'm not talking about that. It's not something you need to be afraid of. I don't think anybody here has to worry about getting overly excited. Marcia said, I started to say it. Marcia told me on the way down here, don't you say that didn't cost you a dime. So I'm not. I'm going to tell you it didn't cost you anything. I want to talk with you today about a passage of Scripture, but there's a phrase here. I've known it forever. You know it. You've known it. But I want to focus on that today. I know what Easter is supposed to be. I know what Christmas is supposed to be. I know what July the 4th is supposed to be. I know how those special days resonate with people for certain types of things. I want to give respect to and acknowledgement of certain things, but then I want to move to something else, and I want to talk to you about that one thing for a few minutes if I can, okay? Look with me in Mark chapter 16. When you get there, say, got it. I guess I'm still waiting. Hear the word of the Lord when it says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Now, typically, we would say on Easter, we would deal with the fact of what we know, and this is not just giving it a wink and a nod. This is true. You know it. We've done it for every Sunday at Easter. The resurrection for the believer, the exit from the room, simply means that the word of God is true. If you go back to Psalm 16, verse 8, along in there, you'll see when it talks about the treatment of him. But you also know that it's secondly, it tells us that the victory over sin has been accomplished. Do you believe that? Talk to me. Do you believe that? Yes, of course you do. Victory over sin is accomplished. That's what he says in Romans 6:23. It says in Hebrews 2, death has been conquered. If he were still there, he would be no more than one of the other great speakers of the time or great men of the time. But it was the resurrection and the acceptance by the Father when he returned that we were able to understand that we can rise too on that day. As a result of that, we know, because of Easter, he's preparing us a place. He's preparing us a home. All of that is true. If you believe the Bible, if you believe the Word of God, all of that is true. And it's a truth that you can celebrate. It's a truth that you can be joyful over. He also tells us in 1 Peter 1:3-5 and Titus 2:13 that he will fulfill our hope. Now, what is the difference between hoping I get some ice cream today and hoping in Jesus? What's the difference between those two hopes? Let me give you the simple word for the hope in Jesus. Try the word confidence. Confidence means somebody has told you something that has earned your respect, that you know they tell you the truth. So we have that blessed hope, Paul said. And then he says this in 1 Thessalonians 4, that because of the resurrection, he will come and get us. This side is not the only side. We know that. We know that from services. We know that from everything we teach in the church. This side is not the only side. Paul said, if all we had is what we have here, we are of all men most miserable. He said, if this is all there is, we're in trouble. He said, but no, he's coming back to get us. All of those are sound, truthful, biblical principles. But it ain't what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you from a very real standpoint of the phrase, who is going to roll away the stone in your life that keeps you from finding God's will? They didn't say when they came up, you think we can get that? You think we can move that? They walked up there, and when they got up, they said, who's going to move it? It's going to take somebody outside of their abilities. It's going to take somebody some time to work through that thing. So let me ask you this. There may be a whole lot about his resurrection and the Bible you may not understand. There's a whole lot, none of it, that all of us don't understand. But everybody, how many? Has a stone, a barrier, a hindrance that is keeping you from getting where you need to be to walk with Jesus Christ. It could be a relationship that's broken. It could be a diagnosis that you've gotten. It can be a friend that's turned on you. It can be finances that have hurt you. It's going to be any number of things. So I want to address the real side of that, because if all we do, understand, I don't say all meaning to minimize it, but if all we do is celebrate Jesus and then go out of here exactly like we walked in that door, we are no better off for the gift of the gospel. We are no better off for the gift of the gospel. None. It's like, as I say a lot of times at different places, it's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. So what? So what if they look pretty? So what if you're excited about some little something? You can talk it, you can sing it, you can read it, but when you're by yourself at night, you lay your head down, what is the stone, the barrier, the hindrance from knowing what's on the other side, but you know you can't get there? Who will roll the stone? Well, you know who does it. The Lord will do it for us. But I want us to think in terms of the reality of our walk with God, so that the people with whom we celebrate, we live around, that we work with, those people can see that there's something different about us. Most of us, I love you, that's why I'm elevated, so I can see you coming. I love you, but let me tell you something. Most of us look like our Christianity is terminal. I'll wait. Think a minute.
talking about giddiness. I'm not talking about silliness. I'm not talking about emotions. I'm an emotional person. But I'm talking about genuine joy that springs from a knowledge of the relationship you have with Jesus Christ, because you accepted what he did on Calvary. You believe he came up out of that tomb, and you believe. Look at this. I want you to look at this, how simply this is stated. Look at verse number 19. So then after the Lord had spoken, this is after he had kind of ripped into them for not believing what they'd been told. And then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. How simply can you state that? It's stated so simply, Alan, that we'll just gloss right over it as we read. You know what he's talking about? Acts 1:11. When the Lord was taken up, he just says he went to heaven and he sat at the right hand of the Father. As if, okay. There comes a need in all of our lives, that we have to take God's Word, the presence of the Holy Spirit, together working, bringing about the power of Jesus in our lives, to where that we connect with what we read. It's not that. It's getting down to where this thing of being in church, talking to people, going to places, it means something more than just where you go. Why do you go to church? Because I don't have anywhere else to go on Sunday. That's not why you come here. It's not why you go anywhere. But God speaks to our hearts when we join with people who are walking down similar paths with us, and we find ourselves that when we're hurting, Hebrews says that we can encourage and challenge and motivate one another, because you come here, you share your burden, and you find out there may be somebody else that had that same burden. It may be a similar thing, and they can pull together beside you. And Ecclesiastes says two are better than one. It's better when you can unite with somebody. I'm not talking about getting with somebody and pouring out your heart about who don't like you and who you don't like. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the real needs, that thing that is under the surface talk that you really don't want to. You don't really want to address. You ever been there? Have you ever faced anything like that? Who is going to roll that stone? I want to talk with you for a minute. These women go walking up. Who's going to roll the stone? They found out it was already moved. Sometimes Jesus works before we do get involved. But then they got what they wanted, but they were afraid. And they didn't want to go in. They back up. And the guys just say, no, go on in. Sometimes we go through the religious motions of asking God to do this and do this and help me with this and help me with that. And God, this is going on. And then God will do something that requires some sort of an investment of our energies, of our time. And we will go, I know that. Oh, no. I didn't know that. I'm not talking about something major. Sometimes it can be the least little thing. Maybe somebody walked in this building today thinking, how am I going to turn this thing around? How am I going to turn this situation around in my life? This thing that I'm having to fight, I know that Jesus rose from the grave. I know that he's a present help in times of trouble. I know the Holy Spirit gives us the great comforter who walks with us and leads us and even convicts us if we need it. And we know all of that.
all the weight of the stone just suppresses the enjoyment and the joy that comes. And you get burnt out doing God's work. I read one time that a guy said, I believe it's Redpath, I'm not sure, but he said, God's people, if you get tired, angry, burnt out doing God's work, you're doing it wrong. He said, you're doing it wrong. You can get tired in the way, but we must never get tired of the way. Never. Children of Israel says in Numbers, they got tired in the way. They were weary in the way. They weren't weary of the way. Now, you get tired doing those things. But I'm telling you, it is one step. Neil Armstrong's not the only man that ever says just one small step. Just going to Christ. Going to Him, sharing openly, not defensively, not reluctantly, not holding back part of it. Child walked up one time talking about D.L. Moody had been preaching in the town. I believe it was Moody. He was preaching. He kept talking about give your all to Jesus. Give your all to Jesus. Give your all to Jesus. And, of course, when he spoke, the altars were full. Give your all to Jesus. There's a little boy came forward and stood there, and he was crying. He's standing there with his hand behind his back. And Moody said, what's the matter, son? He said, I want to love Jesus. He said, well, what's behind your back? He said, these are my marbles, and I don't want him to have them. See, he thought Jesus is going to take his marbles. He didn't want to give that to him. How many times have we ever prayed, dear friends? How many times have we ever prayed with a clenched fist behind our back? And we lay out a discourse to God that would just revolutionize literature. It's awesome. But the truth of the matter is that the depth of your heart never matches the strength of your words. And all of a sudden, words are floating all over the place, but the heart stays stuck behind the clenched fist of failing to surrender and walking with God. Well, if I surrender, I'll end up down there with the riches in Peru. Find comfort in the fact they don't want most of us. No. You listen, if God touches your heart to go to Peru, you will not be happy anywhere else. You will be out of the will of God anywhere else. If he died for us, if we love him, why would we be afraid to trust him? Well, I don't know if he can handle this or not. Well, okay, God can't handle the problems you got, but he can get you to heaven. How will he do that? If he can't fix the things that are here. So look at the problem of the stone. That's the kind we have. They're too heavy for us. There's a sense of hopelessness in that. We don't really talk about it that much because people will say those wonderfully helpful things like, don't worry about it. That's wonderful. Don't worry about it. I wouldn't worry about that. Well, I wouldn't worry about it either if you had it. You cannot solve a spiritual problem with carnal solutions. Do you get it? You will always carry that spiritual weight, no matter how hard you're working, no matter how much attention you draw to yourself or how little attention that you draw. None of that matters. The Bible says that the eyes, I love this verse, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the whole earth, seeking those on whose behalf he can show himself strong. Can you imagine? Now, he does not literally do that, but can you imagine figuratively so we understand it? None less than Jehovah
God is scanning the earth looking for people. Listen, you say, I don't know if God will use me. God wants to use you a whole lot more than you want to be used. I promise you that. You're looking down. He's looking down. He's looking at Calvary this morning. He's looking at the other churches that are gathered together. He's searching. All he needs is find one solid heart so he can invade that place. And when he does, he can change the whole atmosphere of the place with just one or two people who are holy and completely dedicated to him getting the glory for what gets done. If we will then serve him, give ourselves to him unreservedly, what in the world have you got to lose if you're going to live your life under the weight of these stones that are crushing your very spirit? And when you do have a good time, you're having to kind of pretend, or you know, as soon as you get in your car, start heading home, here they all come again. If you have to have anything, if you have to have anything helping you in your worship of God, you might be getting dangerously close to an idol. I can't worship without music. Don't get the value in that music too much. I got to have so and so. Don't get the value in those things too much. God has done enough. He's done enough for us. But look at this problem that we have. They're worried over something that these ladies, as they walk to the tomb, they're worried over something. They have nothing that they cannot do. They have no resource, no power, no help to get that. And they know it because they say, they didn't say, come on, we'll see if we can roll that thing out of the way. They said, who's going to get that for us? Evidently, they didn't know that the guards had sealed it up and all that stuff, but that doesn't matter. The point was they couldn't get where Jesus was. Too many people live their lives getting right up to the stone and stopping. And they back up and they miss opportunities to see how God can work in your life. He can fix things you think are unfixable. And if he doesn't fix them, he might fix your attitude so that you might then be able to deal with that. See, the stone being moved away doesn't mean that the problem goes away. Not in its entirety. It might, but it doesn't mean it will. It just means you're going to be equipped with what the resources that God can bring to your life. It will equip you. When Jesus came out of that tomb, that didn't save everybody in the world. As a matter of fact, they still want to kill him. Disciples were hiding for that very fear. So maybe the focus of what we pray for is not God fix that. What is that? Think with me a minute. Think with me, because it's mine. See if it's yours. Most of our praying is God fix that or change them. And make my life easier. He's probably not interested in any one of those three. But if he can equip us, if he can give us that will help us to go where we can sense the power of God. Have you ever prayed, friend? Seriously, think a minute. Have you ever prayed and really, absolutely, I don't mean cold chills, I don't mean by fan, have you ever prayed and sensed the presence of God so real that you almost feel like you could touch him? Have you ever done that? We don't do it nearly enough, but sometimes you can get along with God. You don't need anybody else. And you can tell him what he already knows anyway. And you share with him, God, this is what I'm facing. It's not just going to the doctor and telling him where you hurt. And then after you tell him, you you say, thank you for letting me come by in your name. Thank you. And you leave. What's the next thing you say after you talk to him? What's going on? What's going on in me? What's causing this? What can I do? How do I get this stone, this barrier, this hindrance removed? Some of us have been carrying things forever. It might be the result of a bad parenting. It might be a bad spouse. It might be a bad circumstance. It might be a bad business deal. It can be any number of things that you just can't release it. You want me to tell you how you can tell if you've forgiven? It's a real simple process. You want me to tell you how you've forgiven anybody, anything? If you can hear their name or get reference to that circumstance and something inside of you doesn't do that, you've forgiven them. But if you draw up in a knot, you flare up and get angry again, I don't care what you say, you hadn't forgiven. I'm not fussing. I'm telling you, he wants to set us free. He wasn't, the stone was not moved so that he could have access. It was moved so that we could see the truth. The essence of it, what if he had said, well, he arose from the grave, but the stone was still there? So, how would you know? The empty tomb is for us, but not to live there, but to accept the truth of that. And having understand, if he can come back from the resurrection, from the dead, if he can come back from the dead, he probably can handle our problems. You think? He might could. I'd give him the benefit of the doubt. He might could. If he can come back from being dead 3 days, and when they get there, there's an angel sitting over there. I love what he said in Luke. He said, why seek ye the living among the dead? That's what so many of us do. And here is the thing. With all that happened, they didn't remember what he said. They said, what did he say? As he said. And if you go down through the verse 13, 14, there, when he gives them the Great Commission, he's fussing at them, lighting them up, because they didn't believe what the women told him. That's those hyper-spiritual men that know more than the women, but they don't know nothing. Wife won't buy my lunch. What I'm telling you is this, look, the problem of the stone is real. Some of you right now, I promise you, because we're all normal people, most of you, you've already figured out a defense for letting Jesus take care of your problem. You already figured out a way. No, it won't work because of this. Because of them, because of that. Nope, won't work. But you won't let him try. Just think, what if we surrendered to Jesus and he didn't do it? We would go down in history as being the first people ever to prove Jesus is a fraud. Wouldn't that be neat for us to be the ones to figure that out, expose him? Of course not. You know better. The problem of the stone keeps us from where we're supposed to be. It can be different for everybody in here. It may be a large one. It may not be much at all. Maybe your children. Maybe your parents. It could be your job. It could be anything that's keeping us from getting where God can set us free, and he can do what has to be done in us and through us. And if we will simply let him have control of our lives and quit trying to fix everything. Listen, it hasn't worked yet.
What are you doing differently now that makes you think it's going to be different? It's not about just celebrating the truth of the fact that Jesus is risen. He was risen for a reason. For a reason. And that's to set us free from sin. We've been called to preach the gospel, to set men at liberty, and to talk to people about walking with Jesus. But it doesn't matter if we become masters of excuses. Oh, no, I got this. I can't do that. We can't do that here at Calvary. We can't do that over there. No, we all know why we can't. This thing is killing my family. It's killing me. It's ruining my career. Whatever. All because of the problem of the stone. We've got burdens we didn't choose. Struggles we can't fix. And then we've got people in our lives that won't change. But we won't trust them to Jesus. We haven't been able to fix them yet. All the yelling in the world, the fussing in the world, the encouraging in the world, that hasn't worked. And here's the interesting thing. Sometimes we'll be praying for a loved one. They seem to get worse. Have you ever known that? When you pray, they seem to start acting worse. Not better. Maybe. It wasn't that God didn't answer your prayer. It might be that God's answering it by convicting those people who are not ready to surrender yet, and they start acting worse because it takes more to fight back from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Maybe God is answering your prayer. He won't force them. You say, well, I asked God to do so-and-so. Well, they did. It's worse. Don't pray for me then. But you know not. But it's God, if you believe it, he'll do it. But it's coming to him with open hands and open heart and saying, God, I need you. I need you. But see, then that's the power that he shows over that. It's divine. He can do all that. He works when we feel powerless. When you can't do it, you have just positioned yourself. When you acknowledge you can't do it, you've just positioned yourself for Christ to do something in that situation through you, perhaps. When you realize that you can't fix this. One of these days, I'm going to tell y'all about a real revelation. I got some at the children's home. I'm going to tell y'all about that someday. But I'm going to tell you, look, the power over the stone. It's not within you to have that. They knew they couldn't fix that. And we get there and we go, how are we going to turn this thing around? How will we ever get through this in our family? How will I ever get through this on my job? How will I ever get through this relationship with this? How will we ever do anything? How will I get through this in my home? All of that is all spent on our knees asking God and realizing it's not a removing of the problem every time. Sometimes it is just moving the barrier enough to where you can see some strength that would come and fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit, which changes the way you are affected by this. Let me tell you something a lot of you already know. We used to have a guy on our deacon board. He was, can I say this in love? Because he's in heaven now. I hope. Just a thought. He could aggravate me by walking in the room. I'm serious. I would say, I won't tell you the truth, but then you'd wonder what I've been telling you. So what, I mean, he would. I mean,
He could. His attitude, when he walked in a room, he brought a storm cloud with him every time. When he would walk in, I mean, you could be laughing, talking, and carrying on. He could walk in the room and everything would just sort of calm down. One day I had enough. God didn't tell me to say anything, but that didn't matter. Standing right there, I popped off. I said something to him I shouldn't say. It wasn't bad, but pretty bad. But anyway, what I said to him right there, and I got in my car and I thought, this guy. All day, and one couple was standing back, kind of about where you are. They heard me say it to him. God began to work on me. Man, I was miserable. I'm serious. I mean, my whole everything just God. So I decided I would do what's right. So I got in my car, rode over to his house. Well, first, I went to the people who heard me, and I said, I want to apologize for the way I said something to so-and-so. I was out of line. I shouldn't have done that. If I had anything to say, it should have just been me and him, and certainly said a lot different. And I apologize. I hope you'll forgive me for that. Yeah, sure. One of them said, I didn't blame you. No, that ain't what I need. Fine. So I went up to see him and I said, can I talk to you for a minute? I'm knocking on the door. So can I talk to you a second? Yeah. So I went in and I apologized. I said, I'm sorry for what I said. I've already been to such and such family and told them that I was wrong to talk to you like that and to treat you. He's older than I was. Nobody is in the world now, but he was then. As a result, I said, I'm sorry. I was looking, Jeff, I was looking for a revival kind of an atmosphere invading that room, you know, like, oh man, I'm making that. You are a great Christian. All that kind of stuff, high-fiving Jesus, all that. You know what he said? Okay. Pardon me? Okay. So I got in a car and I felt kind of, I didn't know how to feel. I thought I'd rather be praising Jesus. No, I thought, no. And you know what I said? You know what I realized? Because I didn't get the response I wanted, I still harbored that ill will against him. So you know what I had to do? Track him down. And I wanted to say, I am free, I no longer will bear ill will towards you because you are a jerk. That's what I wanted to say. What God, I felt like made me pray was, God, what is it in me that reacts so badly to him? What is it in me makes me react like that to him? It didn't take you long for Jesus to show me. I saw him at church later. I bet he's thinking, dude, this guy's going. I just said, all I want to tell you is this. I have truly am sorry. Now, teaching Sunday school, deacon, running revivals, all kinds of stuff. But when that guy walked into the room, he owned me. He owned
find what's keeping you from walking with Jesus. Things sometimes look too big to move. I don't have time to go over to Matthew 28 a minute. You can take a look at it. We're talking about the stone. Barriers are removed. Stones are rolled away. But things don't always get easier when they are. Stone was rolled away that day, letting them in. The world didn't decide all of a sudden they wanted Jesus. They weren't interested in Jesus. They stayed just the same. What changed between the crucifixion and Pentecost was being filled with the Holy Spirit. Over here they're hiding, and over here they're standing up and saying, "You crucified him." And 3,000 people came to know the Lord. Then there's always the proof that comes. They got what they wanted, but they were afraid. Sometimes God will do something, but we're afraid to act on what we believe he has said. Don't be limited by the things that's going on around you. But the main thing I want to talk to you about is the path. The path that you walk down after the stone is removed sets the tone for everything in your life. You'll have power of God because you sense his presence in your life. He will give you a sense of purpose now. You begin to think, yes, I believe I might matter in God's work. And he'll give you a path. And that path he'll lay out takes certain progress as you walk down that. You can start walking down this path right here, and the enemy will be on each side hollering at you, "Come aside, don't go that way, don't walk at that. People are going to leave you, people are going to hurt you." But you walk, and you're keeping your eyes on the master, and you realize that what God did was set you free on a level you had never experienced before. It won't matter much past 1 o'clock today when you go home about what happened at the resurrection for Christian people if you can't live it personally. Making any sense? Am I making any sense to you? All this is yes, that's no. Think a minute. All the time they hear me at children's home, they'll keep me to refer to this, but tell them, think, don't feel. Think, don't feel. I don't care how you feel, because they're going to change before you get out that door. But if you'll tell me what you're thinking, I have an idea where you're headed. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Tell me what you think. When somebody says, "Hey, you're going to do this," what do we always say? I don't feel like it. I don't care how you feel. What do you think? Do you think there's a reason for doing this? Is there a reason to walk with God? Don't tell me how you feel. Tell me what you think. And you'll discover that you're not alone in your walk with God. He loves you far more than you could ever anticipate. Far more. I realize this is not a rip-roaring hallelujah Easter service. But I am convinced, I am absolutely convinced that Christianity is so unappealing to this world because of what they see in the Christians. I don't think it's the damage that's done by the world. I think it's the damage that's done by the churches that are inconsistent in their living. I was watching the news yesterday talking about how the kids are flooding back to the church, but basically they're talking about the Catholic Church. And all I'm telling you is, when you come before him, whatever that might be, as I am or as little as I am, you get it. And you just try to trust him. Can we get a song, Randy, if you don't mind? Bow your heads with me for just a moment, please. This is really pretty simple proposition. Don't need to know what it might be. The stone in your life just simply represents that things you can't move by yourself. Is there anybody here? Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed and respecting your privacy. Is there anybody here? Just slide your hand up. Right back down. Thank you. Say, man, I've got a stone. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm not coming to you. Thank you. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. I just want to pray. Might be. God has an answer for you. Might be. That thing, see, what is that thing you keep talking about? Well, it's what popped in your mind when I said moving the stone away. That's what it is. That's who it is. Whatever popped in your head, that's what's keeping you from walking. Father, we bow our heads and we ask you, you'd help us to reason. Isaiah said, come, let us reason together. I bow my heart before you because you said you're looking for somebody. Whose heart is pure before you, that they can be used in your work. Maybe this place today houses somebody that will leave here with a new resolve in their heart to work with you. Maybe they'll have a close encounter with you that causes them to sense you have an answer. Maybe not the answer they want, but a answer that you want them to have. An answer you want them, give it to them so that they may walk in obedience. Maybe there's somebody that might just come and kneel on this altar and just simply say, God, my coming forward shows that I definitely need your help in my life. I'll be waiting just 1 second. Children. All that we do, all that we are, all that we strive for must be wrapped up in obedience to you. May you have your way in this place. People don't have to come to the altar. They can deal with you right where they are. And I pray that you will speak to their heart. Maybe they will consider this afternoon when they pray. I do ask, I don't ask you to make them miserable, God, I don't do that. But I do ask that when they pray today, bring before their mind's eye that that's keeping you from having complete charge of them.
have your way. In the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us while we sing one verse? Join these that are here.
Have thine own way. Have thine own way.
Thou come on.
The
I'm not a member here. That doesn't matter. The world cares about that.
Have you enjoyed the message and the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again for being here today. Remember, there's no evening service tonight. See you back Wednesday evening here. And I hope that you enjoy your time with your family. I hope you have a great Easter Sunday. Stay safe. Enjoy your day. And if you'll turn around and shake hands with someone, you can consider yourself dismissed. Thank you for being here today at Calvary.
Thank you.